Hey, all right. Well. Hi, Charlie. Charlie, I thought all along they was applauding for how good I picked there, but they saw you coming over the hill, man. That's what it was. We'll give you a moment to compose yourself.
Thanks. Better late than never.
Yes.
It's about time, Charles.
Well, if you got any questions about the one last one you heard, other than why do we do it, maybe, or something.
There's one.
Yes, sir.
It's a question about a different tune.
Okay.
Hammer-ons and pull-offs.
Like at
the end of the old round case.
Uh-huh. My only thing about practice is I just think that you should try to play every day. Try to pick it up and play it every day. As to any particular thing that I might have done on that tune, that you're obviously getting that off of some record. And I've recorded that tune 3 or 4 times. I keep trying to get it right. But I don't really know, you know. And when I do one, sometimes I don't never hear it again for years or something. And I don't know what I might have done or something there that you might be referring to, or which version. But just play every day. That's all I say. buy our homespun video. Right, yeah. Well, right. Okay. Got one away over here.
Yeah. When you're BlackBerry Blossom, did you do that little run, The Fish Come Later?
That was on one called, was that on BlackBerry Blossom?
Might have been another one.
Was that on the one, the Mule song? Was it in that one? Or no, they no telling. I don't listen at my old records, and they're getting awful old. I don't even know what's on them. This is the scale, The Fish Come Later. Actually, that's a line borrowed off of Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
I believe Louis was the first to say that. I can't take credit for that, but I always thought it was a good line. Yeah. All right. Yes, sir. Is that a traditional tune? Yes, it is. The origin of that is... as far as I know, at least, or maybe on the versions, is the Skillet Lickers, the old string band that recorded on the old Black Label Columbia Records. A lot of them we get off of old records, and Nancy and I have the good fortune to play with a fiddle player down home that used to work with us on the road, Mr. James Bryan, who is a walking treasury of tunes. The man can play for months. It seems like I never play the same tune, so... We're fortunate to have a source right there at hand, you know, on the fiddle that's really authentic. And we get a lot of good tunes off of James and get them out of books, off of old records, and first one thing to another. Yes, sir. Okay, well, that's certainly
you.
A thought. I keep getting from several from several camps that maybe this is something I should do some more of again. And, anyone else, anything? Yes, sir. Well, it's supposed to be one of its kind. It's... a Recording King Gibson, made by Gibson. That was a line, like Gibson had Kalamazoo, and Recording King, I suppose, were secondary lines of instruments that they put out. And George Groon, the instrument dealer, claims that this is the only one of these that's ever been cited. And it's really, in essence, a poor man's Nick Lucas is what it. It's a mahogany guitar with the deep sides like a Nick Lucas. The actual body thing would be like an L00 or L1, the old style of that. But the sides, if you'll notice, are a lot deeper like the Lucas, except most of the Lucases were maple guitars, and some few were mahogany, but this is a mahogany one. So It's kind of an oddball, I guess. Sir. Yes, sir. This is a mahogany dreadnought. This is a D18H, a 1934. Apparently also the only of the four ever made. This is supposed to be the only one ever seen, according to Groom, too. They made this one in 34, and they made, I think, two of them in 1936, and another one up in the 50s or 60s, somewhere like that. How's that? No, sir, it hasn't been refinished. It was like new when I got it. It had just been converted for Spanish playing when I got it years ago, and what mileage is on it is what I put on it. I don't think it really been played, you know, very much in the Hawaiian style, because when they set them up like that from the factory, they came with the frets ground down flush and the high nut and the straight saddle on the bridge, you know. So when you convert them, you got to angle the bridge saddle and you got to put some frets in them and then lower the nut. And basically, it's supposed to be the same as any 12 fret dreadnought of the period. I was told the other day by a luthier friend of mine who worked on it that it had a, not only did it have the voice bracing, but it had a graduated top, which he says they only did on a lot of style 45s, so I don't know what that means or if it means anything, but that's what I've been told. Yes, ma'am. Usually I just, any way that I can get through it is the arrangement. Just whatever works, the easiest way that, you know, that it comes natural. I like for it to just happen. I don't come up with very stagey arrangements, I suppose. They just, things that happen. And what about she just kind of gets her part. Yeah. She don't like me to tell her what chord to play. No.
It's a family thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I don't tell him, he doesn't tell me.
Right. Yeah. This is the year we don't tell each other anything. All right, enough of this foolishness. Charlie, take us out of this quick, Charles.
This is the best guitar workshop I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Did you play Soldier's Joy yet?
We hadn't played it yet.
Maybe we should play that, huh?
I think you ought to take off on it.
Then. Yeah.
Close enough for guitar music, man. Sound like there's more of us now.
Yeah. Sound like a squadron of B-29s.